774 ABC Melbourne. You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Josh Nelson joins us, film critic. You can check out his blog at filmology.com. That's with a PH, filmology.com. Josh, hello.
It's good to be back.
We'll be young forever.
That's right. We're not going to let Josh forget that he's a Katy Perry fan.
Woo!
Yeah. So, imagine my Joy Division. Josh likes Katy Perry. There you go. He's got his Batman stuff ready. Okay. We've had our fun at Josh's expense.
Yeah, that goes really well with the Batman voice.
It does indeed. Now, look, I can truly say there are two stories in my life that are the formative myths of my youth. One of them, of course, is Star Wars. The second is Frank Miller's Dark Knight, the comic book that kicked off the boom that killed Marvel. It was the first graphic novel that was seriously successful. I've told the story about reading it on the bus. It's a serious piece of literature. I might be shot down for saying that, but hey, comic books are a beautiful thing. Finally, a part of that plot has come to fruition. Part of that novel is part of the third Batman film directed by Christopher Nolan. Let's just remember the iterations that Batman has gone through. Some films that I really dislike are Tim Burton and Michael Keaton version of Batman in the 1990s.
Don't kill me! Don't kill me, man!
I'm not going to kill you. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tell all your friends about me.
Where are you?
I'm Batman.
Thoroughly unconvincing, in my opinion. We'll give Josh his turn in a moment. And the current iteration, Christian Bale.
You don't owe these people anymore. You've given them everything.
Not everything. Not yet.
My mother warned me about getting into cars with strange men.
This isn't a car.
Some serious kick-ass action in The Dark Knight Rises. I saw it this morning. Josh has seen it this week. Josh, fill us in, the basic plot. What you thought?
Wow, this is a big film, so it's kind of difficult to know where to start with this. In fact, the build-up to this film has been a lot like the grand final. There's been lots of anticipation, and then you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it, and fans are either going to be disappointed or quite relieved. I'm in the relieved category with this one. I think Christopher Nolan, given the hype, given the expectation, has done a really good job. You mentioned Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns. The first part of this film really is the first half of that graphic novel. It's set 8 years after the Dark Knight and the events of Harvey Two-Face and the Joker. Batman's become a kind of Howard Hughes-style recluse. He's considered hanging up the cape for good, and this is really the personal conflict at the heart of the film. It's this idea of, you know, is it time for Batman to move on, or can he? So there's a bit of the obsessional nature of that sort of double ego split that is really the trademark of these kind of DC superhero narratives, and I really enjoyed that part. Then as the narrative progresses, we start to spiral out, and you know, it gets larger than life with the introduction of the Bane character played by Tom Hardy. We have Catwoman in there as well. We have a police officer played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And we have the usual suspects that, you know, are almost a part and parcel of Christopher Nolan films. Marion Cotillard, yeah. Morgan Freeman,
like
Michael Caine, Gary Oldman. It is. In fact, there was a number of times during this that I actually sort of stopped and thought, hang on, is this actually Inception? Am I about to, you know, is this going to be a dream within a Batman dream? Look, I think it really comes together. Watching this film reiterates how strong a director Christopher Nolan is. It's almost like watching a game of chess, because he starts almost slowly, in contrast to most blockbusters, setting up the set pieces, setting up the characters, you know, giving us the kind of the intricate webs, and then slowly or gradually weaving those together. So by the end, it's almost being played out at a frenetic pace, and the pieces are kind of falling off the board or being sort of tossed off the board as the action sort of amps up and up to the dramatic finale. And I really love that. I think he's a very stylish director. There's a moment in the trailer, this is not a spoiler, and there's going to be no spoilers in this review, involving, because there's been quite a few, and I think it's best to avoid them, and a lot of people have been, set at a football game. And this is where, you know, Gotham's under threat. And the way in which Nolan orchestrates that thing, that scene, that sequence, where it's cutting between various characters, various action, and building to this incredible crescendo, is really masterful. I think that's the strength of his direction. And it's there, it's been there in all the Batman films, and I think it's definitely there in this one.
Look, a couple of things to say about Batman. I would love to hear what you think. You might have had a chance to see it. I know there are a lot of Batman fans out there. Or you might actually hate the idea that the studios keep on cranking out superhero franchises. 1300-222-774. I'd love to hear what you think about Batman, Superman. Look, bring up anything that has to do with the Avengers. I think these things are mother loads of cultural mining that we can have a go at. One thing that always strikes me about Batman, the big difference, of course, the obvious difference between Batman and all the other superheroes, he doesn't actually have any superpowers. So it sets up, it's the everyman, if you are wealthy enough, smart enough, and fit enough, could you be a superhero? So that's number one, you've got me in there. That's great. I love also the vigilante themes. Batman is a vigilante.
Yep.
And it kind of got done a little bit better in the Watchmen film, I think, the idea that when you're taking the law into your own hands. One of the big handicaps, perhaps, for this film is there's no Heath Ledger character, and because that was just a stunning performance as the Joker in the other Batman film. And also Tom Hardy, who I loved in Tinker Tailor, I loved in Inception. He's actually one of my favourite actors going around.
Warrior as well, he's brilliant.
Yeah, and you can't see him behind the mask. So that's a big limitation. I know that's an integral part of the character, but there's this big limitation that the evil, the opponent, the sort of the mirror to Batman's character, you can't actually see what's going on. And I couldn't actually understand what he was saying sometimes.
That's my biggest criticism of the film, actually, is the ADR, the automatic dialogue recording for Bane, has been done really poorly. And, in fact, in the opening sequence aboard a plane, when they first released that as a sort of a preview for the film at IMAX, the studio reaction was so bad that they've redubbed it. So in that first sequence, you can tell because the noise of the plane stops and suddenly we hear Bane speak, and it's reasonably clear. But the problem is his facial movements outside of the mask and the raised eyebrows aren't actually in key with the voice. So there's this schism between, it's almost like a disembodied voice. And you're right, I struggled to understand
that was just me. I'm so glad that
No, there's been a few reviews that have mentioned it. Because he's such a great actor and has such an incredible range of movement with his face, yeah, that gets in the way. And his performance isn't as doesn't have the charisma or the magnetism that Heath Ledger did in that previous film.
Look, let's hear a word from Craig in Eltham. I think Craig's already seen it. Hi, Craig.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good. What did you think?
I thought it was an absolute masterpiece. I just wanted to make you aware, to try and beware if you're going to see it at a multiplex, that it's a 2-hour, 45-minute film,
yes.
And yet the multiplex is sticking a half-hour show hosted by Andy G., doing all promos and ads for their upcoming movie.
The session, I saw it particularly early this morning because I had to come into work and missed part of work, and the trailers plus the Andrew G thing went for about 35 minutes. It was a bomb.
Yeah, and when you tack that on to the movie itself, it's a long movie experience.
Yeah,
it's bigger than Ben-Hur.
But why did you see the whole marathon, all three?
I've seen them each separately, but...
Yeah, right.
But no, I absolutely loved the third one. I understand what you're saying about the Bane character, but the character is so strong and he's so evil, and it's just such a great performance that I think I think you can get past the whole vocal problem that they have during the film. You mentioned Inception before. It reminded me a bit of Traffic, where there's just all these storylines and character developments going along all at once, and you just think, wow, where's all this going? And it just brings it all together just magnificently.
Oh, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it, Craig. Look, thank you. The other thing I would say, and look, I mean this. When I say Batman is a foundation myth in my life, it seriously is. I love Dark Knight in a way that's maybe is a little bit pathetic, but yeah, it had a huge influence on me. Probably read it when I was 13. I was actually surprised. It's not as much fun as The Avengers. I had such a good time watching The Avengers. I laughed. And look, you've always got the issue with superhero films. These people are running around in latex and wearing capes, you know. So, like, how do you carry that off in real life? And it didn't kind of grab me quite as much as the... I didn't come out with that Avengers, you know, hands in the air, whoop, whoop, you know. And that's... I don't know.
Look, tonally, they're very different, the style of these films. I just on the way in here, I was thinking that both The Avengers and Dark Knight Rises would probably be in my top films of the year so far, but for very different reasons. Avengers, because, like what you just said, it was incredibly fun, it's incredibly humorous. This is dark, and it's a more dramatic film, it's a more stirring film in many ways. So they're kind of operating on different levels. One thing that is fascinating about this as opposed to The Avengers is the political subjects.
We'll get on to the politics. There's some fascinating politics going on with this film. Let's just say there's a very rousing speech given and civil order breaks down. I don't want to create too much of a spoiler. Is there a sense that it's, you know, like watching Fox News, like watching someone being a rabble-rouser?
I think the best way to discuss politics in this film is to say that it echoes or it resonates with contemporary politics, as opposed to, as some critics have, and I think this is really narrow-minded and simplistic, to equate the politics of the film to right-wing Republican politics. I've heard someone say this is like watching Fox News. I completely disagree with that. The character of Bane is, there's a number of threads that are drawn that are equivalent to the Occupy movement that's sort of been happening over the last sort of 12, 18 months. To say that, you know, it's Batman fighting the Occupy movement, I think is pretty reductive, actually. Particularly when you look at how the film...
But there's a lot of harnessing the mob energy. And in fact, in the original comic book, Batman ends up taking over the criminal mob and leading them off underground and all those sorts of things. There is a sense that you can overturn the public order and just take what is yours. That's a strong theme, and that's what Batman is all about, because he takes over and makes decisions without police and the courts. And there's another character who has to make that choice about throwing away the rule book as well. So there's a strong theme of just taking control yourself, which is quite a fascist vigilante thing to do.
I think they impose that idea on all the other characters, because it's there for Batman with the vigilantism, it's there for the police and the traditional law and order and about corruption and these sort of references to the Patriot Act and does a law justify its kind of end and so on, and also with the Bane character. And in this regard, it reminded me a lot of Fight Club, because of that sense that can an underground movement, which starts out with the best intentions, grow to a kind of a fascist organization in its own right. And this is really what we see here. I think the film's exploring it. I don't think it comes down on one side or the other, but it's definitely in there, in the same way that it was there in The Dark Knight with, you know, Batman's use of this technology to track down the Joker, and Morgan Freeman's character saying all this for just one man, and that's sort of the parallels of George Bush hunting Osama bin Laden and what steps would you take. I think these films are really fascinating on that sort of post 9/11 politics and the trauma and the spectre of 9/11, particularly. Nolan goes to great lengths to show you that this is New York City. It's Gotham City, but it's New York. And what we see pan out has incredible resonance with those imagery of the Twin Towers and 9/11.
Look, I'll point out two things as well. This is a mass market appeal film. My mother-in-law stunned me this morning by saying she'd seen it last night and loved it. I would not have picked it as being a film for her. So there you go. Don't feel, if you haven't read the comic book, that it's not for you. The other thing I looked up, you might be aware, if you follow American politics at all, that Mitt Romney, the Republican challenger, used to work for Bain Capital. At the moment, the dispute is how much he earned from Bain Capital and when he left. And there was actually one of the most high-profile shock jocks in the States had a huge go at this film, because, of course, the evil character is Bane. Just having a go at him and saying that this is all actually a Democrat plot, Democrat propaganda. So the idea that these films don't somehow pick up on political themes is bunkum. And it's one of the strengths, is the political undercurrents.
It's already happening here in Australia too. Someone was tweeting earlier that there's a photoshopped image of Tony Abbott going around with the Bane mask saying, "Turn back the bats."
Okay. I'm glad people have taken it to heart. Josh, thank you.